This is CliffCentral.com.
Robin Banks is a motivational speaker and author. We've had him on the show before. He's one of the most trusted voices around things like kickstarting the new year with a bang, getting your attitude right. I always think that there's some special talent that some people are born with. And maybe it's chemicals in their brain. I don't know what it is. Sometimes I feel like I'm among those people, but sometimes I'm absolutely not. Robin Banks most certainly is. They just look at the world and they see it full of opportunity, full of possibility. And I do love that. I love talking to people like that. They buoy us all up. Robin, nice to see you, man.
Thank you, Gareth. Great to be back here with you. Thank you for having me.
Really, really cool. So we've got a new year on the horizon. 2018 for a lot of people has been absolutely horrible. I'll admit right off the bat, it's been one of my best years, if not my best year ever.
Interesting.
Yeah. I got to do stuff I've never done before. I traveled a lot. Business is good. I've met tons of really interesting people I've always wanted to meet.
Okay.
I'm feeling very lucky. I feel almost a bit greedy.
Almost guilty.
Well, no, because I'm not one of those people who thinks that with a good thing has to come a bad thing.
Right.
I don't believe that at all. I think like when you wake up in the morning, today's going to be better than yesterday, almost every day. And
absolutely.
If it isn't, then I go, ugh, all right, well, tomorrow maybe.
So then what do you think it was though? Because I share your experience. I had probably the best year of my life in 2018.
Really?
Best year of my life. But I've been intrigued to know, why do you think it was? Because it might relate to our conversation.
I don't know. I've taken out a lot of things that make me unhappy. I've simplified my life in some ways.
Okay.
I see more of the people I want to see and less of the people I don't. I'm very, very particular about time efficiency. Not from the point of view that everything has to be productive, but I really like maximizing my time.
Awesome.
And if I feel like I'm wasting time, I won't stay. I will tell people, thank you very much. I've had a great time being with you, but I really need to go.
Awesome.
And I don't feel guilty about that at all.
Right.
So that I've learned to do. I've learned to say no.
Right.
I've always been okay at that, but now I've really mastered it. Like, just say no. And I don't hurt people's feelings. I don't want to be mean, but I don't do things I don't want to do.
Yeah.
I don't clutter my life with other people's shit either.
Right.
And I'm listening more.
Right.
Like, I'm paying attention to people. I'm deriving huge benefits out of just being in the moment.
Right. And that's interesting. See, why I'm intrigued by what you're saying is there are a lot of clear intentions there. And I think part of the reason why people are finding life very tough and very challenging is they don't have a clear intention for their own life. They don't have clear direction of what it is that they want. So they tend to react to the demands of what I call the outer world rather than having clarity in the inner world of what it is that you want to have happen, the kind of life you want to live, that you actually live a life by design rather than by default.
Are you saying, like, if you don't have a roadmap, how do you know when you've got there?
Exactly.
Because that's how a lot of people – I remember talking to my brother once. He came back from America. He'd been there on, like, a sabbatical he was working for a company there. And he got back, and he was getting frustrated because he wasn't getting the job that he wanted.
Right.
But he didn't know what he wanted.
Well, there you go.
So how was he going to know if he got it?
Exactly.
Right?
One of my favorite sayings – I actually got it from Tony Robbins. I'm a big fan of Tony Robbins. And he says, clarity is power. That the funniest thing is when you have clarity, doesn't mean you're going to get exactly what you want. And by the way, when I said I've had one of the best years of my life, it's 100% true. I'm doing a session on actually how to have your best year ever. And I actually set some very clear goals for myself that would end at the end of February 2018. And they were very specific. I wrote them on a board. I put them up. And this is what I wanted to manifest for my physical body, my relationship, my finances, the amount of money I'd like to donate, the impact I want to make in my country. And actually, to be honest with you, at the end of February 2018, I'd probably only achieved about 30% of them. And I remember looking and feeling a little bit disappointed and thinking, geez, Mr. Mind Power, that's not quite what your intention is. And I thought, do I set new goals or do I leave those up? And I literally just left it up and thought, well, you can't take those down until you've manifested them. And last night in preparation for my session, I was ticking off the goals and I'd say I'd manifested about 80% of them. And the reason why I think that's important is, to use an old cliche, God's delays are not God's denials, that sometimes it might take you a little bit longer, but if you're persistent and you're willing to be patient, I do believe you can actually live a life that is meaningful to you. So as you were just saying, you are loving your life because you're living according to what works for Gareth. This is the kind of life you want to live. This is who you want to be. And we all can choose to literally design who we want to become. It doesn't mean it happens overnight.
No, sure.
So for me, if I look at my example, I think I was a bit unrealistic in my expectations for February 2018. Because when I looked at them, they were huge goals. Now that I've manifested them, I'm extremely grateful. I feel very blessed.
So you mentioned a couple of these in sort of a general term, but to give back, to give to the country, to sort out your physical body, to sort out your mental state, what were these goals in particular? I mean, do you mind going into one or two of them?
Absolutely not at all. So for me, I always start with physical because I believe health and vitality is my number one value. If I don't have my health, I have nothing.
Yeah.
I don't care how much money you've got. I don't care how awesome your relationship is.
And people do, hey, they push health onto the back burner and they focus on money and they focus on other people and they focus. And if you're not healthy, you can't give anything.
It's pointless. I know a guy who is worth, I honestly think he's worth about $700 million.
Yeah.
Dollars.
Jesus.
That's a lot of money.
It's a good friend to have.
He's not really a friend. I know him.
Okay.
He looks like he's 85 and he's 49. I'm like, what's the point, dude? I mean, having $700 million, he spent his health to get his wealth, but he doesn't enjoy it. And so I look at him and I just thought, please God, may I never be so focused on one outcome that I forget the point. So it is about having a balanced, holistic life. So for me, number one is health and vitality.
Got you.
So I wrote down.
So what did you do about that?
Well, I wrote down my ideal weight. My ideal weight is 84 kilograms. That's when I know I'm at my best. If I'm at 84 kilograms, I'm at my best.
And I was probably about 88. I'm trying to get to 84 too. I'm at 88.
84 is a good number.
This is exactly where we're in. And we're about the same height, right?
Yeah, I'm 6 foot one.
Shit, dude. My problem is just the eating.
But it's also different bone density. But for each person, it's unique. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Don't let society determine
what you should
look like. You decide.
It's just weird to me that it's the same numbers for
both. Yeah. So I wrote it down, and I'm at 85. I'm not quite at the 84, but I'm at 85,
something to strive for.
And it's actually good. Yeah. So I kind of ticked that one. It's not 100%, but I've ticked it off. Interestingly, the next two I didn't tick off, and I thought, isn't this weird? Because these are completely in my control. I wanted to meditate 20 minutes a day, 5 days a week. I'm not nailing that one. I do it like twice a week. And I'm thinking, do I adjust it? Because that one's completely in my control.
Right.
But it's funny, I haven't manifested that one. The next one I haven't manifested either. I am a really good speaker. I'm great at what I do, but I don't feed my own mind enough. And I'm wanting to read 2 books a month. I haven't quite gotten to that one. So I can't tick that one off.
Good goals.
No, that's a very important goal, especially in what I do. So what I do to feed my mind and to learn from others, I watch a lot of YouTube clips and stuff like that and TED Talks.
You should do podcasts, dude.
I should do podcasts.
You should listen to podcasts. I find that is just such great brain food.
Okay.
Because you could do it while you're doing other things. So you don't have to – like if you're reading a book, you have to dedicate yourself
and switch off to that book. Be focused.
Yeah, and you can't be on your phone and you can't be distracted and – there's always stuff going on.
Right.
A podcast fits into your life, so you can listen to it while you're doing other stuff. And there's some very smart people.
Justin Cohen's a good friend of mine, and I know he's big on that as well. Yeah. He loves podcasts, and he's been saying the same thing. So, you know, when you hear the same thing over and over again, maybe there's a lesson.
From the universe.
That's going to be one of my goals for 2019.
I'll give you a couple to listen to start you off.
Okay, awesome. Please do. So that one I haven't quite ticked off. The others I've done very, very well at. I'm very, very proud of them. I wanted to change something in my business, and my seminars used to be once a week for 4 weeks in a row. It's now a weekend seminar with online. My online presence has gotten a lot better. So that was big for me because I love live because I love people. Mm. But the truth of the matter is the future of my business is online.
Sure.
So that's been a big goal that I've achieved, which is awesome. I've created a lot of blogs.
Well done.
Which is a blog series, which has been awesome. I've managed to donate sizable amount of money, which for me was a big goal. So I have a goal of how much money I'd like to make, how much profit I'd like to make, and how much I'd like to give away.
Are those certain numbers?
Those are very specific numbers, yeah. So I've got a specific amount, turnover, X amount.
Why is it important profit. To give away some of that money?
I think the most important, like most people don't get, and anybody who you study financial success will tell you that one of the biggest things you can do is tithing. Tithing is one of the greatest gifts you can give, because what you're basically doing, first of all, from a selfish point of view, you're actually saying to your subconscious mind, I've got something to give. And here's the challenge. You start with where you are now. You start from your place of poverty. You start from your place of challenge.
Right.
Friend of mine, his name is Sheikh Thumkhliti. I was so inspired by him, because as a result of learning this, I was sharing this stuff with him. He was earning 1,000 rand a month at the time. Every single month without fail, he gave away 100 rand. Now, when you're earning 1,000 rand, I'm going back 20 years. When you're earning 1,000 rand a month, $100 to give away is
death.
A lot. And I love the way he did it. He did it in simple ways, like you would be traveling in a taxi.
Your explanation is more than satisfactory. I'm sold. Seriously, I'm sold on the idea.
No. It's one of the best things you do is 10% of what you make isn't yours. It's yours to give back to society. And if we all chose to do that,
The world would be such a good place.
But everybody waits for somebody else to do it. Hmm. It's Bill Gates has got to do it. He's got the money. No, Robin Banks has got to do it from his place of poverty, now a much better place. I'm not in poverty. And so I remember watching my mentor, John Keogh, when I did the Mind Power course. He was speaking about the importance of tithing. And as a group in 1999, we raised 18,000 Rand. Now, I am going back, 20 years. And I remember going, wow, we just raised 18,000 Rand. That's amazing. And then John Keogh turned around and said, and I'd like to match that. And I thought, holy shit, he just gave away 18,000 Rand, him alone. And I thought, I'd like to be able to do that one day. And honestly, that was one of my biggest goals. If I can, because my biggest vision is to make a difference
in
the
country. Abundance, right?
It's abundance.
Like, if you, I said this on Twitter, I want to have your thoughts on this, because this is so apt for what we're talking about now. I wasn't going to bring me into this, because you're actually on a bit of a roll. But I said, it's not what you have that makes you valuable or wealthy in a society. It's what you can produce, give, and create.
Absolutely.
Some people will never understand this. And I meant it as, like, there's always something for you if you're looking for it, right? So someone replies, some guy called Tembelani, he goes, no, it's actually what you have. So I said to him, that's why you're poor.
Exactly. And I love what you said. There were three things. It's what you give, something, and create. What was the other one?
Produce, give, and create.
Produce, give, and create. And so, but when you come from that place of abundance, when you come from that place of, I've got something to share, I've got something of value to offer, and we all have something of value to offer.
Sure.
The tricky thing is most people think they don't. Bullshit. Each and every one of us are unique. You bring something to the world that has never been here before. And when you bring your unique gift, the universe will reward you for it.
Well, people
by being
appreciate
yourself.
I mean, like, Bill Gates didn't become one of the richest people in the world. I'm using him because you mentioned him already. He gave the world computers. Everyone's life, everyone who has a computer's life has been improved by Bill Gates, and they've rewarded him with money in response.
And what has he done with it?
Oh, he's plugged it back in.
Do you know that he gave 30 billion?
I know. He's the single biggest philanthropist in human history.
So
in terms of the numbers.
Him and Warren Gates have given 61 billion, Warren Buffett, that's what I said, $61 billion to the Melinda Gates Foundation. Mm-hmm. And you know what's one of his visions? I hope you don't mind me sharing this on radio. I mean, this guy is a visionary. He wants to create a condom which makes sex more pleasurable with the condom on, because of the spread of AIDS. Now, what a brilliant mind.
Yeah.
And who doesn't want that condom?
Right.
I don't want the condom.
Sure.
And so that's vision. And when you have vision, and when, I mean, and as
I didn't
you said,
know that about Bill Gates, a sneaky motherfucker.
He's bloody smart. Now, that's a way to create success. So I want the condom. I'm prepared to pay for the condom.
Hell
because
yes.
It'll make it even better. But coming back to my point, I had this vision. When I saw John Keogh give away 18,000, I said to myself, Robin, I want to be able to do that one day. And at our last event, the group raised 125,000 Rand, and I turned around and said, and I'd like to match that.
Oh, wow.
And I can't tell you the
feeling.
It felt so amazing to be able to go, wow, I can make a difference in my country. And now, while I can't give away $30 billion like Bill Gates,
dude,
I can give
125,000. 125,000 Rand is a lot of money.
So here's the thing. So is 125 Rand.
Yeah, I know.
It doesn't matter where you're at. So what I want to say to you guys listening, where you're at right now, and my friend Shakes, who I was telling you about, he used to sit in the taxi from Philippi, and here's one of the things he did one day. as he got into the taxi, it was month end, he paid for everybody in the taxi, and he just gave it to the taxi driver, and he said, no, don't say anything. And as people were getting out, you know, like people, they were paying, and the taxi guy, no, you don't have to pay. No, but I must pay. No, this guy, he paid for you. Yo, we need more people like you. Why not you? No, not me, other people. And that's the thing. What I want to say to people is, guys, start from a place of abundance, because what it says to your psychology, I have something to give. When you come from a place of I don't have enough, you
and
never
you
have enough.
The pie is only being so big, which is a terrible way to look at the world, because then you're going to cut that pie into infinitely smaller pieces until eventually it's not worth even having the pie.
Right.
If you can grow the pie, everybody gets richer. There's abundance.
Exactly.
I mean, look at, you know, if you pay attention to the metrics, human longevity has increased by, I think it's 25%.
Wow.
In 50 years. We're living 25% longer in 50 years. Hunger has pretty much been eradicated. Remember how big a deal hunger was in the 1970s and 80s? You used to have those concerts.
And people used to say, eat all your food. People are starving in China.
That's right. The nuclear armaments have largely been disassembled in most countries. It's certainly down by a vast proportion compared to where they were at the time of the Cold War. There are less wars going on generally than there ever have been in human history. There are less people dying of infant mortality. There are less children killing their mothers in childbirth than ever before. I mean, one in three women used to die giving birth to a child. Hey?
Wow.
And now,
it was that high.
So all these things going on. Technology has allowed us to access information at the touch of a button that was never possible for anyone. Whether you were the richest man in the world and you could build your own library, you still couldn't buy every book in the world. Now you can get every book in the world on your computer.
On one device. It's amazing.
I mean, we live in the best time ever. And if abundance isn't available to you in terms of your psychology, if you have a poverty of self, a poverty of the soul, a poverty of the mind, and you haven't looked at all the evidence around you, the only one to blame is yourself.
Absolutely.
Don't you think?
Well, you know what I love also about what you've just said is your focus. I mean, right now we have serious challenges in our country, on our planet. And I'm not
always
saying
there's there was never a time in human history.
And there wasn't. But your focus, just in everything you've said, has been focusing on all the things that are working. I heard about this book. You probably know it. I saw it on CNN once. Some guy's written a book on the facts of where the world is, and that actually, factually speaking, the world is a much better place.
Of course it is.
Than it's ever been. But yet, if you switch in, tune into what the media is telling us,
the news media,
things are worse.
They want us to feel bad because then we buy their papers,
exactly.
And we click on their stories. And that's how they make a living. But that's not the reality.
It's not. It's completely not.
I'm not saying that it's all great and there's 100% happiness everywhere. That's never going to happen.
Right.
And there are some people living in misery. Every single day is a struggle for some people.
Right.
But what I will tell you is that it is indisputable. All the evidence is in, and there is no way you could dispute that the life you live now
is way
even
better.
Even if you're the poorest person in the world, is better than the life of the richest
and
person 400 years
ago.
That's
one of the secrets, Gareth, is focus on what you do have. Focus, because in any moment you can choose what you want to focus on. Any single second. In fact, there's a great video called What the Bleep Do We Know? I don't know if you've seen it.
Mm.
It's brilliant. And one of the things they speak about is that at any given moment, there are literally, I can't remember the number, but it was like some ridiculous number, 200 million things that you could choose to focus on.
Yes.
I could be looking at that, you know, bobbing head of yours. I could be looking at this. I could be thinking about something else. What you focus on, you attract. And that's one of the key things, is recognize that wherever your attention goes, that's what grows. Unfortunately for most of us, our attention is going into all the problems, all the challenges, all the difficulties, as opposed to focusing on, it's going to sound cliche, the gratitude, the appreciation, the blessing. Focus on what I want, not what I don't want. Because most people tend to focus on what they don't want, not realizing that the more you focus on what you don't want, the more you're actually growing it. You're feeding it energy, because everything is energy.
Thank you.
So learn to control and direct your focus. Learn to control and direct your energy.
All, they think this is all like woo-woo, metaphysical, you know, semi-spiritual stuff. But it has a real practical application in the world.
It's actually not.
I mean, people drive into lamp posts and stop signs and street poles because they're focused on those things.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. They've done research around this, that the reason accidents always happen with those things is because people are watching them and they're drawn to it like a moth to a flame.
Absolutely.
That's what they crash into.
Absolutely. And by the way, sorry, this is like one of my favorite topics. I get very excited. It is not spiritual woo-woo. It's actually quantum physics.
I mean, I get nervous around this because there are a lot of people who claim to understand quantum
physics.
Well,
I can share it in a way.
And I know quantum physicians who don't understand
it. I don't understand it.
Physics.
But I can share it in a way that everybody can understand.
Okay, go on.
How is it possible that every time I speak into my phone, I can dial a number and I can speak to somebody in China? And my question is, how does my voice go into this thing and come out of his thing in China? Mm. How? Well, very simply speaking, as I'm speaking to my phone, my voice is converted into a digital code called the binary code, yes, made up of ones and zeros. It goes into my phone. From the phone, it travels to the nearest beacon. From the nearest beacon, it goes to a satellite. From the satellite, it goes to the nearest beacon in China. From the beacon, it goes to his phone. When it gets to the phone, that digital code, that binary code of ones and zeros, is converted back into the exact same sound of my voice, just as you and I are doing right now on airwaves. It's all energy. There's literally energy all around us. You cannot deny it, because you use it all the time with your phone.
Yeah, but
it's
that's
a fact.
But that's just physics. It's not even quantum physics. Because, well, I mean, quantum physics is a whole other thing about how the observer changes what's observed.
Exactly.
So that in some way is going to play right into your theory.
Oh, yeah. Well, I won't even go there. Let's just stick with the physics side.
Okay.
The point I'm trying to make is all of us, we cannot deny that there's energy all around us. The tides of the ocean are pulled in and out twice a day. By the moon.
Listen, you do know when you meet some people, you can tell if they're going to absorb or give back energy.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
Some people absorb all your energy. Some people give you so much back.
Right. So here's my point. In order for me to call you, I need to dial your number. Your phone has a frequency, which is whatever it is, 072, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. My phone has a frequency. You have a frequency. I have a frequency.
Right.
Everything has an energy. Everything has an energy signature.
Well,
it has a frequency.
To give you a useful metaphor, I mean, use it, don't use it, but light is the easiest way for people to understand energy, right?
Right.
So light is both a particle
and a wave.
And this is what on the very edges of what people are studying in terms of how things exist, what they are made of, what are how we can be matter rather than nothing.
Right.
Is all bound up in this discussion around light and what it is. It's a photon, but it's also a wave. And that wave, that energy, is what we're trying to understand,
exactly,
because we haven't yet been able to quantify it. And we can measure light in different ways. We can measure the speed of light, but we actually don't know whether it's at any given time a wave or a packet of energy called a photon. It's bizarre.
It's
and
wild.
This stuff, this is what we're made of.
I know. I get excited. This is like my favorite topic.
Okay, but look, we digress.
But hold on. Let me finish it, because it actually relates exactly to what we're speaking about, because I want to bring it down to practical then.
Okay, go on.
What does it mean for me personally? What it means for you personally is if everything has an energy signature, everything, this is what physicists are telling us, everything has an energy signature. You have a vibration and a frequency. The thoughts you think are literally frequencies of energy that you send. One of the things I share with people in my mind power training is that your mind is a sending and receiving station of thought. You are sending thoughts and you are receiving thoughts all the time. The thoughts you send out start vibrating in what they call the quantum vacuum. We in mind power call it the energy web, that there's a web of energy around us. That's how our phones work. The thoughts I think literally send frequencies out, like your phone does, like this radio station is. And whatever vibration you are sending out determines what you're attracting. That's why you hit the lamppost. That's why you hit the pole. That's why you manifest the relationship. That's why you heal your body. That's why you manifest financial abundance. You literally have the ability to create your reality with your thoughts.
But this takes a huge amount of
discipline,
self-critic and self-awareness.
It does take focus. It does take discipline, but it produces results.
Yeah, but why is it that so many people, I mean, you were at the Global Citizens concert, right?
I was, yeah.
And you were actually at that garage.
I was right there.
So tell me what your experience was, because I've got a follow-up question that relates to this.
Well, so first of all, the Global Citizen was amazing. I mean, it was a great event. And so we're leaving on a high. Beyonce's just finished. And I mean, she's Beyonce, whether you like her or not. It was an incredible experience. And as we walked out, it was just chaos. From the time you left, you could just feel the mayhem. And we got to the Uber, there was an Uber park.
But not exciting mayhem. Not like the kind of, there's...
No, suffering. No, yeah. It was not great. You could feel the energy and you could feel, like, panic. Everyone wants to get home. It was about 12:30. at night, and everyone wants to get home. And we got to the Uber park, and obviously there's just too many people ordering Ubers, and so no one's getting an Uber. And so my partner and I, she ordered a Taxify, and we thought, well, let's go up to the Sasol garage, because for him to come in here, it's just going to be crazy. So we're walking, and as we're leaving, I hear someone screaming, and I thought you were saying, Michael, Michael, but you're saying, my phone, my phone, my phone. And then I started hearing more people screaming, you know, and I'm like, what's going on? But my lady was on a mission, and she literally grabbed my hand, and she's like pulling me, which is probably a good thing, because she's like dragging me, and I'm walking behind her. And I bumped into some guy, and as I bumped into him, I had this very weird vibe of him. And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and I said, sorry, my brother. And I kept walking, and he turned around and walked towards me, but she was literally pulling me at such a speed. I just turned around, I looked at him, and he said, sorry. And I said, sorry, my brother. But something felt weird. And then when I got to the garage, we were standing there waiting for our Taxify, and I heard people screaming constantly, constantly. And then her sister said, come and stand here with us, because you know, it's not safe. People are being robbed. So we went to stand there, not realizing we actually were closer to the danger. Shit. And literally, Gareth, I stood there, and I swear I probably witnessed personally at least 15 people being robbed. And what would happen is you couldn't see what was going on, because there's just so many guys.
Chaos.
And you don't know who's who, and you're not sure who to trust, who not to trust. And, you know, often in retrospect, I think I should have done this, I should have done that. But at the time, there's such incredible fear. So you'd have like five guys just surround one person. Most of them hold him down, like three of them will hold him down, and the others search his pockets. And then once they've robbed him, they just stand there. They literally just stand there, and he has to walk away. And we were standing there, we all had rocks in our hands to protect ourselves, because we were just like, you know, I mean, I was on high alert. I was exhausted when I left. I couldn't wait to get to bed. I had so much adrenaline pumping through my mind, and there was this little girl crying, and I said to her, focus, stay focused. And she was like crying. I said, hold your energy high. You need to be attentive, because it was scary. Eventually, our Taxify arrived at about probably an hour later for him to get in.
Oh, my God.
And this is an hour where you're just seeing people being robbed constantly. And as he arrived, I just took all my mates and six of us jumped into his little Toyota Corolla. And I said, I'm sorry, my brother, we need to get out of here. And as I drove away, I remember almost feeling guilty for all these young girls I was leaving behind. But I was also aware I was with five girls. And it felt like the wild, wild west. And it was very concerning.
Here's the question. That's a horrible experience. And I'm really sorry you had to go through it. I'm sorry that all your friends had to go through it and everyone else. Those people are evil.
Yeah.
There's an energy. You told this girl to focus. But what do you say about that? That's the element of human nature, which is at the opposite end of what you talk about when you say mind, power, focus, self-actualization. These are very basic, very dangerous, very animalistic creatures that are there to predate upon even the most focused, mind power, Absolutely. Empowered people. You, in that moment, you had no power.
Yeah.
And these guys could see that, and they would take advantage, as was their wont, and they would do what they could with you.
Absolutely.
Now, how do you explain that? Because this is the ugly place where reality meets.
The rubber hits the road.
Yeah, where reality meets with all the things that you and I sit here and philosophize about. And we can philosophize all day, and I agree with you about most things. But this upsets me, and it upsets me on a level that I can't always describe properly.
Absolutely. And it was heartbreaking at
it's
one
the
level.
The opposite of empowering.
Yeah, because we've just had this global citizen concert where we are speaking about being global citizens, making a difference. And then to go from that, it was literally the opposite end of the spectrum. Mm. And I had a lot of time to think about it. And in a funny way, the usual thing that comes into the mind is, you know what, this country is going to the dogs. I mean, this is just terrible. How do they allow this kind of thing?
And I was just thinking, oh,
exactly. And I just thought, here I am doing exactly what I say we do, is we externalize and we blame. Having said that, those people need to be held accountable. But I thought, what can I do from my own place of empowerment? And the answer I've come up with, and I'm still working with it, but it resonates for me, is it's made me feel even more determined that this country needs leadership. And what I always say is, if not me, then who? If not now, then when? And the feeling it brought up for me is it's time to step up. And what that means to me is how am I reaching those young guys? Because they don't have leadership. And it's easy for me to stand and criticize and bastards. And by the way, I had a rock in my hand. And let me make it very clear. I would have used it. I would have used it. And in fact, I did use it. I threw it at one of them.
You're no pussy.
Yeah.
Didn't you grow up in Rivoli?
I grew up in Rivoli.
Rivoli, that's a tough neighborhood.
It was a tough neighborhood.
I mean, if you the hood would have come out of you and you would have fought for your life. No doubt.
I would have definitely used it. I would have inflicted pain if I had to. But then goes to another level of like, okay, so we need to, please, it doesn't mean, please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say, that they are not responsible. We are each 100% responsible and there's responsibility for them. But the question it made, brought up for me, Gareth, is it made me think, what am I doing? What am I doing to add value? What am I doing to get my message out there? Because I do believe we create our reality, but most people don't know this. Am I educating enough people? Am I reaching the people in the townships? I'm reaching people who can afford to pay for my seminars. Yeah. I do free seminars, by the way. I do lots of free seminars, and it's open to anyone, and I want to have thousands of people in my seminars. But actually, it suddenly hit me that I need to go to another level because I want to find a way. Because one of my favorite quotes is, your success helps lots of people and your failure helps no one. It is actually your duty to succeed. So stop being selfish and succeed. So I want to encourage more people to be successful, because how are we going to have a successful nation is having successful individuals.
Yeah, but we're talking about some fairly desperate people here.
No, these are desperate people.
These are people who've they've given up on themselves and on everything else. Yeah. All the things that bind us.
And they were high. I could see they were high.
Of course they were. So these are because that's the only way they'd be able to do some of the things that they were doing. Yeah. No sentient being wants to be so hurtful and evil.
Yeah.
There's no volition. They need your stuff because they're not going to get another meal if they don't.
Right.
So desperation. And I mean, it's by no means excusing it, but you understand. How do we get to people like that? How do we start? Because that's a monster challenge.
It is a monster challenge. I mean, one of my biggest concerns is that 54% of young people in South Africa are unemployed. That's scary for me. That's a ticking time bomb. That's where there's some work to be done.
I would go further and say that at least a half of those people are unemployable.
Yeah.
It's not just that they're unemployed.
And that which comes back to our education system, because it's not great. And so part of what my vision is I'm thinking, okay, I'm not a teacher, but I am a teacher. I'm a teacher in personal development and personal mastery. So I think what I'm tending to focus my attention on is, okay, what besides giving money back is one thing. Giving your energy back is even more empowering. So a big part of what we're doing in the business is starting to go into schools. It's small, but I've got a brand now. I'm hoping that I'll get more sponsorship because I want to start actually focusing most of my attention on working with the young people. That's where it's going to take a while. And I think the challenge is we're impatient. We want it. We want it now. We want the change now. We want the results now. It's going to take a while. There's a huge backlog. Unfortunately, we've had 10 years of
Disaster. Been mismanaged like a bad spaza shop by a drunk owner.
Jeez, it's been bad. On top of the apartheid legacy, at least we had some education then, but still, it's been one disaster followed by another disaster. And I think for me, the call is to each and every one of us. What is it that I can do to give back? What can I add value? Now, you need to protect yourself. You need to succeed. And here's the other thing. And by the way, when I say give back, I don't mean give back from a place of give everything I have.
No,
it's actually the opposite. Your success helps lots of people. You must succeed. You come from a place of abundance. You come from a place of, so for me, in a funny way, you first need to focus on yourself. Now, some people might say that's selfish.
No.
It's the exact opposite.
If your cup isn't at least half full, you can't start give back. Giving away. No.
So in what I teach people is you must succeed.
Mm-hmm.
This country, this planet needs you as an individual to have a successful life, because the greater your success, the greater your ability to help others. So tonight we're giving away at a seminar I'm doing, we're giving away 250,000 rand to worthy organizations.
Wow.
We're giving it away to kids with AIDS. We're giving it to the Rhino Fund. We've got 50,000
each. Can I ask you something? Your mother, And I know this because we've got mutual friends. Your mother is probably the person who started you thinking
Absolutely.
Like this, right?
No Just, question.
Tell me a little bit about her, because I never met your mother.
But. My mom, well, she was the first woman in she was the first woman in Noordgesig, which is a colored area right next to Soweto. She was the first woman to drive because she was determined she's going to get a driver's license, and that was like in like 1970. So she's just been that kind of woman who always set her mind to something and made it happen. And she had quite a powerful spiritual awakening when I was 8 years old. She was part of an organization, she started teaching me all this stuff at the age of 8. And I remember thinking to myself, man, can I just have an ordinary mother? Because my mother used to say things to me at the age of 8. My son, you're a spiritual being having a human experience. And I remember thinking, what the hell
what drug
is she talking about? And she said, who you are is you're a spiritual being having a human experience. This is just a journey you're on. And while you are here, leave your mark. And at the age of 16, she looked me in the eye and she said to me, my son, in whom I'm well pleased. You are going to make this world a better place. Now, whether it was true, but her saying that was programming me at a deep subconscious level.
Oh, our words have power.
Huge power.
Our words have meaning. Our words, what we put out into the world verbally, and I've had to learn this because I've said horrible things in my life, sometimes just about the news or about something that's going on. I mean, I don't think I've ever been a person who's wanted to be scornful, hateful, and nasty.
Right.
But I've said some horrible things that those things, you put that out there, it's coming back for you.
Absolutely. Because we live in an energetic world.
No.
Seriously, Gareth, the more I study this, the more I realize how little I actually know.
Tell me more about your mom.
But anyhow, so my mom, I think, you know, she started me off and she always encouraged me because, I mean, can you have, having me as a kid, as a student at school, I mean, I was hard work because I wasn't naughty in the sense like smoking, drugs, drinking. That wasn't my thing. I just couldn't shut up. I had so much energy. I was always talking.
Questions.
Disrupting the class, being too loud, being over the top. And I'd come home from school feeling very, very flat. And one day she gave me a cup. And as she gave me the cup, she says, you know, I saw this cup and it made me think of you. And initially I looked at the cup and I said, why? Because it had this, it was like a broken cup and it was all like mashed and bashed and, you know, it was like designed in such a broken way. And it had a hobo on it and he had a cap and stubble and very shirt hanging out. He had a cigar in his hand.
Sounds like a horrible gift.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, why does it make her think of me? But the statement was, the champ, sometimes beaten, never defeated. And she said, my son, I saw this cup and it made me think of you because I've seen you beaten. I've seen you come home from school and your teachers have said something to me. Like one of my history teacher said to me once as he gave me my test, he put it back and he says, Banks, 43%. And he says, you know what you're going to be when you grow up, Banks? You're going to grow up to be a big piece of shit.
And what?
My history teacher. And this big mouth of mine couldn't shut up. And I said, well, sir, you're already one. Oh, I got into such trouble. I got sent to the principal's office when I told my mom. She said, why were you in the principal's office today? And I told her. She said, oh, good for you. Don't you let anyone call you a big shit, a big piece of shit. So she was that, you know, supportive as well.
Your mother also, she gave back her whole life, right?
Oh, no, consistently.
That was her thing.
She
basically, in that community of Rivoli, she was like a...
She was counseling people. Yeah. People used to come to the house and she'd do it. You know, reflexology and attunements, and she'd be doing marriage counseling and not being paid. She just was, this is what she did. People were constantly coming through the door, black, white, colored.
Can I guess something, though?
Yeah.
Because even though Rivoli's not a wealthy neighborhood, but no. I'll bet you, and I don't know the facts, I'm speculating wildly here. I'll bet you never wanted for anything in terms of material possessions, because somehow she was putting out so much good energy, it came back.
No. I was very blessed. And I went to a good school, too.
But isn't that amazing?
Absolutely. Like,
people would think, well, this woman's not charging.
No.
She's not doing anything to earn money in this respect.
No. It was about giving back.
And you have a life.
No.
And you came out okay.
She was a blessing. But I want to come back to this cup, because she said to me, I've seen you beaten. And she says, the thing that inspires me is the next day you wake up, no matter how hard the day before has been. And you said something about this earlier. She says, the next day you wake up and it's like, it's a new day. The sun is shining and you just go back and you'll never be defeated. Now, I often wonder, if what you were saying was really true, because it probably was true to some level, but often, Gareth, whenever I'm feeling tough, and I have tough days, people often think because I'm Mr. Mind Power and I'm Mr. Positive Attitude that I don't have bad days.
Human.
No, I'm human. I have, you know, some people often say, geez, you're probably always positive. Do you ever have a bad day? I say, yeah, I had a bad day in March last year. It was terrible, which I'm kidding, of course. But coming back to my point is often when I have had a tough day, I'll wake up the next day and I'll literally say to myself, yesterday I was beaten. But you know what? I'm not defeated.
You still got the cup?
No, I broke the cup. But it lives inside me. So after my experience at the Global Citizen Concert, I woke up after 3 hours of sleep and I had a radio interview where I need to go and speak about maintaining a positive attitude.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, you know what? Yesterday was tough. Even more reason why I need to stand up and claim my leadership. Because do you think it was tough for Nelson Mandela?
Sure.
Anybody who comes from a place of greatness will tell you that there are hardships that we have to overcome.
I mean, so, you know, I'm also tired of hearing people complain about their lives, because even if, and especially when they're talking about things like, I went to the parking meter and I didn't have change. Like, you know that people have been dying in wars for thousands, if not millions of years, right, for you to end up in front of that parking meter with this as your problem. Do you know how many lives have been sacrificed for you to have this problem?
Exactly. Exactly.
There's no perspective.
And even our country. No, coming back to what you said, we're in a tough situation. I mean, come on. Things are challenging. Still, I think we're better off. I think we're moving in the right direction. I just think it's going to take a while.
You said already we need to develop patience, right?
Yeah. And while we're developing patience, we need to develop inner strength. We need to come from a place of what can I give? What can I offer? It doesn't mean we don't deal with the corruption. We don't deal with the violence. We don't deal with these issues. So for me, I was listening to one of the radio stations in which they had Becky Cele on, and I was like, no, bullshit. Hold on. You guys need to take responsibility for this.
He was saying, no, it's not our fault.
I'm like, seriously. I was like, dude, I was there.
But listen, politicians are the masters of not being accountable.
Right.
They have found a way to make all of us pay for them, and we get nothing back.
And they
manage to maintain this, and they lord it over us.
Yeah.
They get through traffic with their blue light brigades.
So that should not be. That's not what I'm condoning. So that's why I'm very clear. We are not condoning that. There's a responsibility for a country to its citizens.
Yeah.
That needs to be upheld. They need to be held accountable. And I think there's been a strong amount of pressure. He came out yesterday and actually said, you know, something better in the right direction. But coming back again, no matter what's happening out there, the only thing I truly have control over is my inner world, my thoughts, my feelings, my attitudes, my beliefs. So for me, most of the work needs to be done there. Do the work on the inner landscape. And so what I was saying earlier about the thoughts you're thinking, the energy you're putting out, the feeling you're putting out, what you focus on is what you attract. If each of us can focus our energies on that, the outer world takes care of itself just fine. So in my work, I want to teach individuals to become successful. Because if enough of us manage that, that's how we manage success. So the greatest feedback I get is when people tell me, geez, Robin, you know what? I came to your course. I was unemployed. I found a job 3 weeks later. I've had different levels. One woman came to the course. She was earning five, she'd never had a check for more than 10,000 9 months later, because it did take 9 months. She got a check for 50,000. No, she gave birth to a different check. But it took her 9 months, because you don't plant a seed today and expect a tree to grow tomorrow. It's a journey.
Okay, I'm picking up two really interesting things here, and they seem to be central themes around my question of what's 2019 going to be like for us. The one is that we've got to learn to be patient and to use the time while we're being patient to improve ourselves.
Absolutely.
And the other thing that you're telling me is that it can all, it's all within your power.
I am
all of this
that.
Stuff. People don't like to hear that, Robin. They want to be able to blame someone else when things go wrong. They want to say it's not my fault when things go wrong, because poor me, it's all circumstances. And, of course, you rightly point out there are a lot of challenges, a lot of problems. And South Africa's got more than our fair share.
We've got more than our fair share, yeah.
But I'm very concerned about, like, the way we – that sense of it's someone else's fault and I can't be blamed and no accountability for me seems to even go down to the family level.
Yeah.
Because we've got tons of kids in this country who are not looked after by their parents. They've been raised very badly. They go out into the world full of bitterness and resentment and hatred for all the right reasons, because they've been treated badly
right
by the people who were meant to be their primary caregivers. how do we even begin to bring those people back to a point where they can develop self-worth? Yeah. Self-worth is so important.
Absolutely. And you're touching on, for me, where it actually starts. You interviewed me on the Cliff Central, on Gareth Cliff Show many years ago, which I really enjoyed. And one of the things I shared there, which I'd like to share again, is that there's the ABC language that victims have, and we all behave as victims, and there's the ABC language that victors have. And the ABC language of the victim focuses on accusation, blame, and complaint. Yeah. And the reason why my life's not working was my upbringing, my schooling, my parents, my background. I was sexually abused, which I was. And the reason why I can't succeed is because of my past. So the ABC of the victim focuses on accusation, blame, and complaint, and what we call external locus of control.
I'm so glad you remembered this, because I was going to raise it anyway if you hadn't. But this victim stuff has also become it's become a humble brag for some people.
Absolutely.
Horrible stuff that you shouldn't be.
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, I think it's awful that some people have had such terrible experiences in their lives, that they've been abused, that they've never had anything, that their parents just abandoned them. But this has become almost like the narrative.
Absolutely.
If you turn on any news channel, if you go on the internet, all people are doing is complaining about their lives. And what they get in return is huge amounts of attention and sympathy.
And support.
So then it makes them do it again and again and again. And what we end up doing is competing for who's had the shittest life.
Exactly. I mean, one of my favorite things I love doing is I say, this is why we have coffee breaks. Because we'll sit there and go, geez, it's terrible. Hey,
bitching
but
and
what
moaning
can we do?
And whining and complaining.
That's life. We must not carry on.
Oh.
Well, I always say to people, there is something you can do. Stop the complaining. It doesn't mean, by the way, I'm not saying what you're saying is not true. I'm not saying it should have happened. I'm saying what happened, happened. So recognize that we can choose our response to situations. We can't always choose what's going to happen, but we can choose
how we respond.
How we respond and the story we make up.
So what's the ABC for victors?
The ABC of the victor focuses on three things which only you control. Your attitude, which truly is a choice. Your beliefs, which relates to your thoughts, what you choose to believe. And lastly, your choices. Your attitude, your beliefs, and your choices. So for me, what I want to empower people to realize is that we all have good and bad days. We all have ups and downs. We have, like people say, was it a good year or a bad year? It was a year. It has good days. It has bad days. It's not about what's happening. It's how you respond to what's happening. So how do we embrace the ABC language of the victor? Become conscious when you catch yourself complaining. So I catch myself complaining. I catch myself complaining. People go, but aren't you Mr. Mindpower? Yeah, because it's a human condition. And the more you can catch it and go, oh my gosh, look at Robin. He's behaving like a real victim over now. Okay, how can I choose to be different? Mm. And there's something so powerful just about looking at it as opposed to coming from a standpoint of I don't have any choice. I don't have any power in the situation. Bullshit, you do have power. You can choose how you're going to respond. You can choose your thoughts. You can choose the energy you're going to put out. So for me, after the experience at the Sasol garage, I had to choose how am I going to be. What am I going to be in South Africa? Because I could either go down into, geez, it's hopeless, it's just, or the opposite is what's happened for me. Seriously, it's made me more determined.
Mm, I left there. I can see it in your eyes.
I left there and I said to my team the next day, we need to get this message out to more people. I need to have a Gareth Cliff TV show of my own. I need to have a radio show. I'm not reaching the people that I want to reach in this country, because I believe that all of us are called to be as great, please stay with me for a second, as great as the Mahatma Gandhis, the Nelson Mandelas, the Jesus Christ. We are all called to be as great in your way. So what you bring is unique. And when you find your unique gift, so my unique gift is I'm a speaker, I'm energetic, I'm entertaining. And when I do that, time flies by when I'm on stage, because I'm born to do that. There are things I'm not good at doing. So when you find your unique gift, and by the way, I often say to people, you actually do know what it is. Because previously when I was to help people find their personal mission statement, I used to think, what if I get it wrong? And then I realized, I can't get it wrong. You actually know it. I just have to help you to find it. Because as a child, you've already known you're special. And this is true for every single one of us. As a child, you knew you were special, but then you were conditioned to believe that you're not. So the ABC language of the victor comes from a place of confidence. Now, the difference between confidence and arrogance, because I've often said to people, but this is arrogant. Arrogance is when you think you're better than other people. But confidence is believing that I bring something that is unique. I bring something that this country needs. And so arrogance for me is putting yourself above other people. Confidence is bringing your gift with abundance. And I feel, not to blow smoke up your ass, I feel you do that because I've always respected that you call a spade a shovel. And I've always thought, geez, that guy gets into trouble. But I always respect it because you stand for what you believe is accurate. And you believe it, so you express it. And so for me, if we can all do that in a way that doesn't harm other people, but bring your gift with joy, bring your gift with abundance. So
don't just expect anything in return.
Don't expect, because coming back to the point, I'm feeling more determined, Gareth. I'm feeling more determined to succeed.
I love this. I think 2019, you know what? It's going to be a good year.
2019 is going to be an amazing year, or it's going to be what you choose for it to be.
Yeah. And there are probably people sitting there now going, oh, it's going to be a terrible year.
And so be it. Ask and you shall receive. Yeah. And so what I invite you, and I'll tell you a quick story if I may. I'll never forget this moment. I was in Australia in Sydney, August 2015, and I was in this restaurant. You've been to this Australia. Anyhow, yep. So there's this guy, and he's what they call a bogan. Now, I didn't know at the time that bogan.
It's like an Australian poor white.
Yeah, exactly. He's like they got like this very broad accent, yeah. And this guy was like a really rough character. He had big muscles and tattoos, and he had a big beard, and they'd messed up my order three times.
The accent, right?
Yeah, I know, okay. But it was funny. So he comes up to me and he's very intense. He says, "What are you after, mate?" So I didn't understand the lingo. I said, "Excuse me." He says, "What are you after?" And I'm like, "What am I after?" And so he says to me, "Listen, mate, I'm busy. What are you after, the chicken or the salad?" I said, "Oh, what do I want?" I said, "I'd like the chicken salad, please." He says, "You want the chicken salad?" I said, "Yes, please." He says, "I'll get that sorted for you." So he turns around and he walks away, and he came back about 10 minutes later, and he puts down the most beautiful, delicious chicken salad I've ever had. And he says to me, "Is that what you're after?" So I said, "That's exactly what I'm after." He says, "Well, there you go, mate." I said, "Thank you very much." He says, "You're welcome. Enjoy it." And as he turned around to walk away, I said to the lady I was having dinner with, I said, "Do you know what I like about that guy?" And she looks at me, she says, "What?" I said, "Clear communication. There was no mistaking what he was asking me. What are you after, the chicken or the salad?" And I was specific, Gareth. I said, "I want the chicken salad." And what did he say? "I'll get that sorted for you." So here's my point. I believe that every morning when you wake up, God, Allah, Buddha, Krishna, Ra, the universe asks you a very important question. What are you after? And most people say, "Suffering. I'll get that sorted for you." So the point is, recognize that you are the driving force in your life. You are the creator of your circumstances. So clarity is power. Before you go into 2019, what are you after? What would an amazing life look like for you in every area? And then put out the intention. And here's the tricky part that most people really need to get. Be crystal clear about what you want for your finances, your relationships, your health. Literally do a goal setting session. And then put it somewhere where you can see it every day. And in a funny way, living your life and enjoy it without living with expectation. Now, this is the tricky part. You got to live from a place of fulfillment, because when you live from a place of "I already have," the energy you're putting out is not "I want." You're putting out the energy of "I have abundance. Yeah. I have an amazing life."
Yeah.
And then things come back.
It's
so,
like a jet engine. You know, the faster it goes, the faster it goes. Like, because a jet engine works on the basis that it sucks in air, compresses that air, and then fires it out the back.
Exactly.
The more air is coming in, the faster the engine goes. So as the plane goes faster, it goes faster.
That's amazing. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. So what I'm going to invite people to do is become clear. What are you after? What do you want? What would an amazing, fulfilling life, not just successful, of course, what would fulfillment look like for you? Because a lot of us think it's the money that brings fulfillment. Now, don't get me wrong. Money's great. I love money. There's a lot of good things money can do. But don't fool yourself into thinking that when you have the money, you have fulfillment. No. You can have fulfillment right now in your place of poverty.
Right now.
In your place of poverty. Right. You can have fulfillment in the second.
People don't like to hear this because it means you have to do a little bit of work.
Yeah. And so for me, I believe in living a fulfilled life happens now, and I always have a clear vision. Always. And here's the tricky part, is a true master always has intentions but accepts whatever happens as the perfect outcome. Ooh. A true master always has intentions but accepts whatever happens as the perfect outcome. So trust that whatever's happening is meant to be happening. How do you know it's meant to be happening? It's happening. So when I didn't achieve my goals in February 2018, something wasn't right yet, or it wasn't time, and I either needed to be more determined or I needed to let go of those goals. I chose to keep them up, and today I look back and it's gone.
And a few more months and I'll get that sorted for you.
I get that and boy, has it been sorted. I mean, I've manifested goals this year that, seriously, when I say it's the best year of my life, I look back and I keep going to my team, holy macaroni, that was a great year. And here's the best part. I've influenced more people than I ever have this year. I think in this year alone, I've influenced more people than I have in the last 5 years. I've had more people come through my seminars. I've had more people produce success because your success helps lots of people.
Right.
Anyway, I get excited about this.
I know, and it's hard to stop you because I like to hear it.
Oh, thank you.
Where can we find out more? Where can we – apparently you're doing a – here it is. Let me give you this. The Real Success 2019. Make 2019 your best year ever event, features four other inspiring South African multimillionaires scheduled for 19-20 January at the Gallagher Convention Center. And you can go and see Robin there, among other things.
Absolutely.
What else? We've got a website we can go to.
Is there one there? Because I don't think the guys gave it to
me anything.
It's probably realentrepreneur.co.za. Realentrepreneur.co.za.
Is such a hard word.
Really. And when I'm in New Zealand, they say it's not entrepreneur, it's entrepreneur. And I'm like, anyhow, we all spell it differently. Or you can just find it on my website, robinbanks.co.za.
That's the one. Robinbanks.co.za.
.co.za. You can find it there. But what I'm excited about is I get to share the stage with four other great South Africans. I mentioned one of them earlier, Justin Cohen, who's written six books. And you know what I love is there's like a little love fest between us because we all love and respect each other because we're so different.
Who are the others?
So Justin Cohen. Brian Walsh, who runs Real Entrepreneur. Billy Selekani. Have you heard of Billy?
I've met Billy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Billy Selekani. And for a change, we've got a female speaker, and she's amazing. Anne Wilson. And she is the Welsh chef, and she will speak to you about money and money consciousness. And she really understands money probably better than all of us. In fact, she's the only one who's actually free financially. She doesn't have to work. She chooses to.
That's nice.
So the four of us, the five of us, the focus of the weekend is really – it's a free event, by the way.
Oh, very good.
You don't have to pay nothing.
19 and 20 of January.
19-20 January, and it'll be at Gallagher Estates. And there's a webcast version as well, so people can watch it live wherever you are in the world.
Right. So those of us who don't want to be like hijacked waiting for our Uber or stabbed or have our cell phone taken off of us like at FNB Stadium.
I know, that was hectic.
I'm glad you're okay, man. And listen, thanks for coming to see us. It's always a big up for me to see you.
Thank you. And it's a pleasure to – I mean, I was very honored when I heard you were doing the interview. I'm like, wow, Gareth himself. I'm honored. So thank you for having me. Seriously.
Thank you, Robin. Robin Banks, everybody.
This is CliffCentral.com.